So this morning we carried on exploring the first two of the four reminders, and I said a bit more about motivation, and then we finished with that meditation on the breathing, where we were looking at finding a relaxed awareness by firstly strongly getting to grips with the breath, so to speak, making sure that we were vividly aware of the breath, and then secondly sort of throttling back from that, so putting less effort in allowing there to be more relaxation. So we're trying to find that point where if there'd been any more relaxing and any less effort, the vividness would have gone. We would have started to just drift. So that's kind of, that point is a very sustainable point from which to meditate. Clearly aware, but we're very relaxed. And then we added in a third element of enjoyment. And if we have those three together, then there's a natural kind of absorption. You think about it, if you want to watch something on TV, well, first off, you know, you turn it on and you find the right channel, you sort of tune in to what it is that you want to watch. And you make sure that the volume's up high enough so that you can really kind of be clearly aware of it. And if it's on a computer screen, you might tweak the brightness or something. So, yeah, so it's very clear what it, you know, you've got the right thing. It's very clearly there. And then what you do? Well, the next thing you do is you sit back and you relax and you enjoy it. Yeah. So, you know, we do kind of know how to get absorbed in things. It's just that when we come to do this special thing called meditation, we set about it in a different way sometimes. So yeah, it's those three things. You find the object of meditation. You become brightly, clearly aware of it as best you can. And having done that, having really made it vivid, which usually requires some effort to start with, then you relax back and you find enjoyment in it. So that was this morning, and since then we've been practicing continuous mindfulness all through lunch and afternoon walks and afternoon siestas, maybe. And with the with that ongoing mindfulness, what is it that we're being mindful of? Because there are lots of different ways of doing that. You can just practice, as it were, general awareness of whatever is going on, which has some advantages, but very easily means that it slips away because there's nothing in particular that you're paying attention to, which means that it's not obvious when you're no longer paying attention to it. It's just like the mind, like focusing on the breathing. Yeah, part of focusing on the breathing is that it gives you a something to notice that you're not doing anymore. So what are we practicing continuous mindfulness of? So we need to be kind of clear about our intention and our purpose. So there could be lots of different things. It could be the breathing. It could be the body in general. And if we feel that we need to be more kind of grounded, it could be particularly the lower body, and as we're walking, we put a lot of awareness into our feet and connect to the ground. Well, that's quite good if you've, you know, if it's been very busy before you got here, and this, your nervous system's a bit all over the place and your mind's a bit all over the place. You just really connect to the earth. It could be keeping track of what's happening emotionally, and sort of in that whole sort of world of feeling. Are you responding to things? Particularly if that's not your natural sort of faculty, you may need to kind of go looking for what is happening in this world of feelings and emotions and track it. It could be being with the Yidam in some sort of way. It could be keeping the mantra going. It could be keeping a sense of the presence of Buddha, or, you know, living what you're doing in the service of Padmasambhava and the Buddha and so forth. It could be staying mindful of a particular view. So all your experiences, you're being aware of their flowing impermanent nature, or you're being aware of their emptiness of anything that you can grasp hold of. You might be experiencing things as like a magician's illusion, like a mirage, like a dream. Or it could be just having very open awareness. So you're taking in everything, but you're not focusing on anything in particular. You're just letting mind be very open. So as you're walking, you've got this big sort of open awareness, just receiving what's happening, but not being caught up with anything. You don't kind of focus down on, oh, that looks interesting. You're just letting experience, as it were, sort of flow through you. And so on and so on. Yeah. Lots of possible areas that you might be working on. But it's important to know what it is that you're doing. Because if you don't know what it is you're doing, your chances of doing it are small. So on this retreat we're working quite a bit with the breathing. So the breathing is certainly one of those many possibilities. We could stay with the breath. And making that conscious decision of, let's say, keeping some awareness of the breath going as we're showering and eating and walking and chopping vegetables and so on. That has a very strong integrating quality to it, because we keep being aware of all the pulls away from that. We keep becoming aware of the sort of undercurrents, you know, the undertow of the different aspects of ourselves, which take us away from just staying with this experience. And in that way, we learn about ourselves, we learn about those aspects of ourselves. Yeah, I sometimes think, say, with mindfulness of breathing, people get very caught up in being absorbed, you know, and staying with the breath. And you learn a lot when you do stay with the breath. But it's almost as much learning in all the different things which pull you away from the breath as there are in what you learn when you stay with the breath, if you see what I mean. The aim isn't to get pulled away, but just in setting that one intention to do that one thing, we learn about all the different conditions and all the different aspects of ourselves, which are all pulling in different directions. We get much more of a sense of ourselves through, it's like when you decide, right, you know, I'm going to do this with my life, immediately you discover all those unintegrated bits that want to do this, that, and the other with life. So, as we're working with the breathing, there are different ways even of staying mindful of the breath. And one that I've shared sometimes on, certainly I've shared on some of these retreats, and I'll share it again briefly again, is one where you're breathing down into this area below the navel. Which, in a way, is just a traditional antidote to anxiety, isn't it? One of the things that you're usually taught is that where there's restlessness and anxiety, one way of working with that is that you bring energy down. But these days, just about all of us, I think probably from the Buddhist point of view, suffer from restlessness and anxiety. We're in an age of horrified anxiety, which is constantly exacerbated by all the modern media. It's like now we're presented with loads more opportunities to feel horrified anxiety. Once upon a time, we'd never hear about most of what went on in the world. Bhante talks about how at the time of independence in India, Indian politicians would be going around to small villages, sort of drumming up support, and they'd be going, "Who rules India?" And some of the villagers would go, "I don't know, some dev, some god." They'd never had no idea, who even ruled their country. And go back a few centuries, in Europe, news of some battle or something, it would take, weeks, months to arrive. Some traveller or other would bring you news of what went on. Whereas now, we have constant, 24-hour-a-day news where you can not just be told what's going on, but you're taken right there. Now we go up to our reporter, in Brazil, who is covering the Zika outbreak, and here is a young mother with a baby who's not functioning well, and then from there we go to somewhere else, and so we take in all these things very immediately, very viscerally, and what do? Well, we can't respond. We don't respond. So it's like we're constantly being stimulated by all these things, which if we were really there, we would have a big response to, and so we get charged with that, and there's no discharge, there's no release. Anyway, that's a sort of aside, and I think there's a lot to be said for taking in news sort of quite indirectly very often, rather than having to be right there. Yes, if we really can't empathise, we have no sense of what it would be like, then yes, let's get a sense by going to our reporter in Aleppo, which is part of which has just been completely destroyed, and see the broken down walls. But if we could imagine what it's like, and what do we gain from sort of being put on the front line, through our TV or our computer, because what we lose is a lot of calm, a lot of, yeah, we have to somehow digest all that. Anyway. So in the age of horrified anxiety, bringing awareness down is a good thing. So we can breathe into this area below the navel. But there's another element to it, which is that as we're doing it, we can have a sense of warmth and ease through using whatever imagery helps us to cultivate that. So it might be different things work for different people, but it might be, you know, that sense, you know, on a cold day you come out of the cold wind and there's a roaring log fire and you sort of sit by it and you get warmed right through, or you're out in the summer somewhere in the sun and there's just that sense of, you know, the heat sort of going through you, and so everything sort of relaxes. So it's like there's this warmth, the centre of warmth from down below the navel there. Or for some people, but not for others, just that sense of like you've just had a really good meal, or like a baby almost that's just been fed, and you know, before you really needed to get something in, but now, oh, you're completely satisfied. That sort of sense. So it's breathing into this area, sort of starting with a sense of cultivating that sense of ease and relaxation and warmth, something quite reassuring about it. Again, I know some, you know, for each of us, different areas in the body hold different things and have different effects. But if we can manage this, if it works for us, then it has a lot of benefits. So we can do it as a meditation practice, but it can also just be something which we, one way of maintaining an ongoing mindfulness. It's like, as I'm talking to you, I'm doing it. Yeah. So I'm talking to you, but I'm just keeping about 10-15% of my awareness in this area down below the navel. So as I'm talking to you, there's this kind of sense of, yeah, I'm breathing easy. And as I put a bit more awareness into it, you know, it just starts to feel really kind of comfortable and relaxed, and there's a sense of reassurance, you know, everything's okay. Yeah, just breathing here, nothing difficult. So you can have that sort of sense. So, you know, as you're listening, you can just have 10-15% of your awareness down in this area and just let that whole area just feel as easy and relaxed as possible. You get the idea? Any questions? Is it clear what I'm trying to suggest?
Can I just ask, so when you take your energy, your focus there, so can you work with metaphor in that way, or imagery, you know, say a minotaur presents itself, and can you work with it in that kind of way?
So if as you take your awareness there, if there's
an image
or a metaphor that presents itself, yes, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, you don't have to exclude any of those things. No, we're trying to cultivate that sense of real ease and relaxation with awareness. So yeah, it's like I find different images come to mind, like Baloo the bear in the Jungle Book is one of my sort of favourite ones. You know, he's kind of got this big kind of belly and he's really easy. And for instance, whatever works for you. Anything else? Okay. So let's do a little bit of practice then. And let's have a little go at this way of practice. So as usual, starting by not starting. To meditate, we have to put down all the weight of expectations, things to do. Meditation is a different way in which mind and body function. And again, let's see if we can find something that inspires us or connect into a motivation. Encourage ourselves if we need encouraging. Let's make sure we're well grounded, well rooted. We feel the support of the earth. The upper body reaching up, So it is a bit like being some great tree, rooted deep in the earth, open to the sky and the sun. Bringing awareness into the body, which has never felt like this before. So how is it? What do we notice? Taking a kindly interest in what's happening. Now let's particularly be aware of what we call the breathing. Let's follow the breath. And where we first feel it, down into the body, and back out. firstly emphasizing being clearly aware. Really tuning into the experience of the movement of the breath. Once we have really tuned into the breathing, letting ourselves relax, relax and enjoy the experience. Now, if it feels right to you, bring your awareness awareness into that area below the navel. We know that we don't literally breathe into. The air doesn't actually go down there. But still, it's part of the breathing process. It's affected by the breathing. We imagine, if you like, the tide of the air coming in and flowing all the way down into that area. So when our awareness is in that area below the navel, and feel the movement of that area in response to the breathing. We allow that whole area to really relax, be very easy. If it helps us, by all means, let's use images. Anything which gives us a sense of warmth, security, contentment, ease and relaxation. So just breathing easy. The tide of the breath gently moving that area below the navel. With a sense of warmth and comfort in that area. And in a minute, we're going to bring the meditation to a close. Still staying with that experience below the navel. Now starting to make that movement from meditation to everyday life, but quite consciously. What do we do when we end a meditation? And not leaving behind totally the breathing below the navel. So we're going from whatever percent of awareness we had in the meditation on that area. Just down to 10-15%, something like that. So we're still keeping some awareness, a kind of home base in that area. So we come out of meditation, open our eyes. Thank you.